Hey, fantasy football fanatics. Are you ready to suit up in style this season? Introducing Casey Kasem's Sunday Dreamers Club, your go-to destination for fantasy football-inspired apparel. And here's the touchdown pass. Throughout March, you can score a whopping 15% off your order using code GETREAL at SundayDreamersClub.com. That's right, savings galore on the coolest gear in the game. But here's the extra point. Your support means the world to me. By snagging a shirt, you're not just gearing up for fantasy football. You're also helping fuel my journey and helping to keep this podcast going strong. So huddle up, folks. Head over to SundayDreamersClub.com, punch in code GETREAL, and grab your gear before the clock runs out. Don't keep this deal to yourself. Spread the word, and let's make fantasy football legendary. Welcome back to Get Real with Casey Kasem, the podcast that takes a look behind the scenes of the fantasy football industry through interviews with some of your favorites in the business. For this episode, I'm joined by the fantastic Shane Barrett, the brains behind Polly's Playoff and host of the Red Zone Redemption podcast. Shane also contributes to Roto Heat, bringing us his unique insights into the world of fantasy football. We're diving deep into Shane's world, starting from the worst birthday present he ever received to his exciting encounters within the fantasy football community. Discover the stories behind Polly's Playoff and Shane's journey into content creation within the fantasy football realm. Get ready to explore Shane's passions beyond football, the importance of faith, and his dream job. Don't forget to follow Shane on Twitter at FFShaneB. Keep up with me on Twitter at DCaseyKasem and the show at GetReal_pod. And hey, before we wrap up, don't miss out on Sunday Dreamers Club for all your fantasy football t-shirt needs at SundayDreamersClub.com. And be sure to catch my content with both Roto Baller and South Harmon FF. This podcast is a proud member of the DAP Network. And now, let's get to my chat with Shane Barrett on Get Real with Casey Kasem. Well, first and foremost, Shane, thank you so much for joining me this evening. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to getting to know more about you, and I'm sure the people listening are as well. So let's just get right into it. We'll go ahead and ask the burning question, which is, No, it's like the first question I ask everybody, which is, when you were younger, what was your relationship like with sports? Did you play sports? Have a favorite team? Did you watch? What was the relationship like?
Yeah, so I probably really didn't get interested in sports till I was probably about like 10 or 11 years old. I played sports before then, but it wasn't like a burning obsession for me like it is now. I played soccer and basketball when I was a little kid. I feel like every little kid starts off playing those two. And then played baseball, started t-ball. I was horrible at baseball. But that is my like one regret, is that I hit like 12 or 13 years old. And I don't even think it was really puberty. It was just like at that point, my coordination just kind of locked in and I was actually able to play sports and be good at them. But I had already given up baseball way long ago. I was like, this is boring to play. Like, I'm not doing it. So played basketball. I still play basketball today, and played basketball and soccer through high school and college. So, and that almost feels like a misrepresentation. I played 1 year of club soccer in college. And then I've played intramurals in different men's leagues, from a basketball standpoint since I was 14. So, that's my playing career. When it comes to like fandom, I always get made fun of, or at least until last year, I got made fun of when it came to my NFL favorite team, because I always had three. I typically had whoever my favorite player was on, the Packers and the Cowboys. So my dad and his dad were Cowboys fans. And then my mom's entire side of the family is from Kenosha, Wisconsin. So they're all cheeseheads. And then growing up, my favorite player was Peyton Manning. Okay. So I was a Colts fan. And then I really wanted them to suck for Luck, but keep Peyton and have Luck sit behind Peyton for just 1 year. Like just 1 year. And then Let Peyton go elsewhere or do whatever. That obviously didn't happen. So I followed Peyton to the Broncos. And then now my favorite player is Baker Mayfield. And you're people probably are wondering, how do you go from Peyton to Baker? And I can explain that in a little bit too. But when Baker was drafted with Cleveland, I cheered for them. And then he actually moved to Carolina, which they're only about 2 hours from where I live now. So I actually got to go to training camp. I got him to autograph a hat, him and DJ Moore. But I did not follow him to the Bucks. I'm focusing my efforts toward cheering for one team and one team only, and that team is the Jaguars.
Okay. So, why the Jaguars?
Great question. I love Trevor Lawrence, and then they have and Travis Etienne. Like, I joke with people that my worst birthday present, I think it was for my 25th birthday, was that Travis Etienne decided to go back to school. Because I had like the third or the fourth pick in my home league dynasty league. And I was like, it's going to be ETN. Like, he's going to fall to me. Like, I'm ready for it. And then he went back to school on the deadline day for early declares. So, and then they ultimately kind of what the proverbial nail in the coffin was, they drafted Tank Bigsby out of Auburn. For the people that can't see me, I'm wearing an Auburn shirt right now. So I'm a big Auburn fan. Love Tank Bigsby. Wish he had done more as a rookie, but that was kind of the proverbial nail in the coffin to be like, all right, I'm going to go full bore on the Jaguars.
All right. Yeah. Well, I like that story about how you did. And I also like the fact that both your sides of the family have a team that they like, and you're about both of them. That's cool.
Yeah.
Mine's Cowboys and Eagles, and I'm a Cowboys fan. I don't think the Cowboys, Eagles, I don't think I could be a fan of both of them.
Well, even Cowboys Packers like has been somewhat contentious when I was growing up as a kid. So
for sure. So how did you find fantasy football?
Yeah, so my first fantasy league I started playing when I was 10 years old. My dad had a work league, and so he's a medical sales rep. He had a work league with a couple of doctors, some other sales reps, and different things like that. And they needed one more person to fill in. And so my dad asked me, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give it a shot. And that was my only league for a while, probably till about college. And then in college, I hopped in some other leagues. Then I think we'll get to it later. But then I found Dynasty through a friend in college. And it's been a whirlwind ever since.
Yeah, well, let's get into that right now, because Dynasty's on my brain. I've been talking about Dynasty a lot today. So I'm like, okay, let's do that. How did you find Dynasty after you, I'm assuming it was redraft to Dynasty. Yeah. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
How did you find that beast?
Yeah. So we had a group of friends in college that was in a redraft. Actually, it started straight redraft, I think. And then it was a keeper league. And then after like 2 or 3 years of doing keeper, our commissioner was like, hey, I want to do a Dynasty league. He had been kind of getting involved in Twitter. Was actually a writer for the Fantasy Football Astronauts for a little bit, and introduced me to kind of what Dynasty was. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm in. Like, whatever you need from me, like, let me know. And so we actually started a Dynasty league. It's our home Dynasty league. It's still running. I think we're going into year 5. And it's a few of the guys that were from our redraft league, a couple of friends that he had met while in college, and then actually one of the chiropractors that I worked with as an account at my first sales job made our 12th person. And so I loved it from the start. My dream job, if I could do anything in the world, would actually be to be an NBA GM. Basketball has been my favorite sport since I was a little kid. So I'd love to be able to take over an NBA team and mold it and make it mine. And Dynasty, and like playing franchise mode, stuff like that in Madden, like my favorite part isn't even necessarily like playing the football games. It's like making the trades, building the teams, and getting them to look like you want them to look like. So with Dynasty, like it fit perfectly into that. And then once we started that league, we've got a cool kind of standings that we use. We actually use a league table system similar to like soccer. So a win gets you 3 points on the table. And then if you're a top 6 scorer each week, that also gets you, like it gets you 1 point. And if you lose, you get nothing. Oh. So we're like 6 weeks into our first season. I'm like 3-3, 4-2, but I'm like at the bottom third of the table because I'm not getting those scoring bonuses. Mm. So I'm like, okay, can I really, like, if I make the playoffs, because I was pushing to just make the playoffs, can I actually contend? And I was like, looking at like the way that my team has been scoring, there's no way this is happening. So I completely blew it up my first year. I traded anybody that I could for picks and younger players that I thought maybe had potential. And I jokingly call it the longest rebuild. I was in a rebuild from basically that point on for, I think, two more seasons. So almost three full seasons. And then finally in year, I guess it was year three or year four. I can't remember. But I won the championship, not in 2023, but in 2022. And then I actually did end up winning it in 2023. So I'm the back-to-back champ.
Oh, no big deal. No big deal.
No big deal.
So you're saying there's hope for people who are out there rebuilding their teams and it's just not going the way they want. Okay,
absolutely.
Cool. And by people, I mean me.
Yes, yes. There's definitely hope for you. My tip for that would just be like stay active, especially in Dynasty. I feel like the people that succeed most in Dynasty are typically the most active. So I was sending out trades, trying to figure out like where can I improve my team or where can I gather more draft capital with that team while I was rebuilding it. Can I tell you one of my favorite trades that I made?
Yes,
like
please.
it's still the heist that I pulled is just incredible. It's our first year. It was our second year because it was post rookie draft. And it was the middle of the season and Russell Gage was going off for the Atlanta Falcons because either Julio or Calvin Ridley was hurt that entire season. So he was just the beneficiary area of, hey, I have to be the second guy because the other guy's out. So I traded him, MVS, and I think a second round pick for T. Higgins.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be talking about that trade too. I would bring it up in every conversation. I'd just be like, look.
Oh, yeah, man. So, and now I don't even think Russell Gage or MVS is on that dude's roster anymore.
Don't you love to see it, though? You love to see it.
Yeah, 100%.
So Dynasty is different than Redraft, yes. When you went from Redraft to Dynasty, was there anything that you were concerned about or anything that you like really had to study up on to figure out, you know, this is a little different than, you know, so, your typical Redraft?
Yeah, that's a really good question. What I really had to study was like player evaluations and just valuation like within the marketplace. And that's honestly why I got onto Dynasty Twitter, fantasy football Twitter, was to just like be able to have conversations with other people that had more of a resource or had more experience playing Dynasty and just kind of figure out like, how do I value this player? Like, is this a good trade? Things like that. I'll still throw tweets out like that from time to time, just because like, that's one of my favorite things about the community is like just interacting with people. But that's probably the biggest thing was just kind of valuing players and figuring out how to trade really. Cause in the startup draft, that was my biggest mistake in the startup draft in my first Dynasty League was I was just like so ready for trades that I just got trade happy.
Yep.
And didn't really check with like any kind of valuation or anything like that. And that's why I think my team ended up the way that it did that first year.
See, okay. As you were saying that, I was like, please say you did the same thing that I did. And that's exactly what I did. So
100%.
Yeah. If you're doing a startup draft and it's your first time, you should probably do a little bit of research on how much picks are worth and this, yes, that, the other.
I know they're kind of taboo, but there's a fantastic, I think, trade calculator out there at Dynasty Process. So if you go to dynastyprocess.com, click their trade calculator, you can switch the mode to startup and include picks. Mm. So then you can have like the, let's say you've got a 30 round draft. Let's say you want to include the 26.04, like the fourth pick in the 26th round in one of your trades. You can plug all that in and see kind of what it's worth. Pro tip, if you're in a league with me and you want to get a trade done, go to Dynasty Process, and as long as it's considered fair, so they give you a percentage, if it's within 5% on either side, they call it fair, I will likely take that deal straight up. Like if I plug it into Dynasty Process and it pops out fair, like I'm probably going to accept it without even thinking about it.
People do tend to be like, oh, trade calculators, but really they're useful tools. Mm-hmm. And if you use different ones and like compare and kind
that's
of
what I try
crowdsource
to do
all that information, point, yeah. then it is helpful. So yeah, especially if you're just starting, because trading can become, because in redraft, you're not doing a whole lot of trading if you even mm-hmm. get to trade. So
yeah,
how did you learn how to make better trades, and how did it take time, or what was the process like?
Sure. Oh, that's a really good question. It definitely took time. But I think one thing that kind of at least benefits me personally is I've been in sales basically my whole career. So like the negotiation aspect of trading and kind of, I guess, just being a good salesman, which to me is asking questions and then listening for a response and evaluating things for their needs. So that's one thing that I love to do. And I don't know if this is technically answer your question, but we'll see. It's like, I'll look at my team and be like, okay, I need a tight end. And then what I do is I'll scroll through the league, specifically on Sleeper, what I'm kind of thinking of, and see, okay, like who has a luxury of tight ends, or who has two good tight ends, because there's like maybe eight good tight ends. Now we're getting more tight ends, which is kind of nice. But
yeah,
I'll go look and see like, who's got multiple good tight ends, or who's got a good tight end and then a tight end that I think's got some upside. And then I go look at their roster and be like, okay, what do they need? Do I have that? And if I do, then I'll try and come up with a trade that benefits both of us. And then occasionally I'll get a three-team deal done. So like if I don't have it, but there's another team that has something or has a need for something that I do have, then I'll make it a three-team trade and try and work that. But those can be frustrating, because like, at least for me, like I feel like I craft that perfect deal where it's like, okay, this is mutually beneficial for all of us. It seems pretty fair to all of us. And then one dude gets in there, sees the trade, and immediately rejects it. And you have to start completely over.
Yeah. Oh, that's a bummer. Yeah. I think I've only got like one three-team trades done that made me like, yeah, I was like, okay, this is one, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to try this again. But no, trading in Dynasty was one of the things that I was really scared to do. Mm-hmm. I was scared. That's why one of the biggest reasons I didn't play Dynasty for a while was because I was like in my comfort zone of redraft. Mm-hmm. And then, but the trading aspect of it is so much fun. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I wouldn't. Like, I'm in a Trade Addicts League, if you guys know what that is. Trade Addicts.
Which one are you in?
Seven.
Okay, I'm in TA1.
Okay. Ah, TA1, the OG.
Mm-hmm. I got awesome. In last year and did a dispersal draft.
Oh.
And then my team is very interesting. I have the 102.
Okay, if that tells you anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so how did you become a person who put out fantasy football content? Because that's a jump again from just playing in leagues to actually putting out content.
I mentioned the commissioner of my home league. His name's Dom Johnson, Dom FFL. He's not super active on Twitter anymore, but he was the one that kind of was like, hey, if you want more resources, check out Twitter. And so I started out just kind of checking it out, interacting with people occasionally, like responding to different people's questions that they would put out there. Shout out to Him and Her Sports. They were actually one of my biggest advocates when I first was kind of like getting in the space. And all I was doing was like answering questions, having conversations with people on Twitter. But then it was right before the pandemic. We had our second daughter. So I'm a girl dad. I got three girls. And we had just had our second daughter. I felt like I needed some kind of creative outlet. Been kind of wanting to write for a little bit, but didn't really know what to write about. And then Dom was with the Fantasy Football Astronauts. And so I listened to their podcast. I fell in love with the original founders, Rish and Jetpack Galileo, and was like, if I'm going to start making content or writing anything, like I want to be with them. And so right before the pandemic actually hit, it was right around the time my daughter was born, I was like, I'm going to write I want to start writing. So I reached out to, I just DM'd the Fantasy Football Astronauts account and was like, hey, do you guys need any writers or anything like that? And they were like, yeah, just send us kind of a sample piece or something. And so I ended up actually, so I live in Greenville, South Carolina now. I traveled to Greenville for a new job that I started literally 4 days after my daughter was born.
Wow.
So I traveled to Greenville probably a month and a half later and was sitting in my best friend's apartment with him and his wife and just wrote basically kind of the art of the deal, I think is what I called it, an article on kind of trading etiquette when it came to fantasy football, and sent that sample off to the astronauts, and they were like, cool, you're in. And I was like, all right, can this be my first article? And they were like, sure. So wrote some articles for them for probably 6-ish months and made some friendships within the team. One of those was with the Carbon Fox, if you guys know him on Twitter. He's not really in the fantasy football space anymore. He's into the kind of gambling side of things. That's not entirely true. He works for FTN as a producer. He asked me, do you want to be on a podcast with me? And I was like, sure, why not? And so we actually started the Fantasy Nightcap together, brought it under the Astronauts kind of podcast network, if you will. And that was just a weekly waiver wire show that we did. At the time it was that we started, it was super easy because I was on Central Time and he was on Pacific Time. So it was only about a 2-hour difference. So basically when my kids went to bed and after they finished dinner, we'd go and record our podcast in the middle of Monday Night Football for the waiver wire. We did that, I think, for about a year and a half, and then he had triplets.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was after a couple of months of doing it with the triplets, he's like, hey man, I can't do it anymore. So I was like, all right, cool. I completely understand. So I took over from there and kept it as Fantasy Nightcap for a while and then rebranded as Red Zone Redemption. Yeah, just kept doing podcasts and having guests, and I continue to do it as just a waiver wire show in season for probably a season or two, and then I was like, I kind of want to change things up in season, but then in the off season it was straight Dynasty content. So
rad. Had you ever done any podcasting prior to that?
The only podcast that I had done prior to that was I guested with the Astronauts one time, which that was super fun because they always do trivia, or they did trivia at the end of their episodes. The question was, Michael Thomas was the wide receiver one. How many yards or how many points behind the wide receiver two was behind Michael Thomas were they? I worded that horribly. But basically, what was the difference between wide receiver one and wide receiver two? I completely guessed, completely, like pulled it out of my butt and said 97. And Rish and Jetpack were like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, what? And the answer was 98.
Oh, wow.
So wow. I am one of, at the time, I was one of like three people that had actually beaten Jetpack in trivia. And it was because of that question. So that guest experience, and then Dom had a podcast that for a little bit with Joel Verzosa that they did together. And I guessed it on that with them one time. But other than that, I had no experience.
What about with the writing side of everything? Had you been a writer before? Have you done writing before? Or was this like your first go at something like this?
It was I would say it was technically my first go. Like, obviously I wrote stuff in school, and that was kind of what like inspired me or made me want to write, kind of have that creative outlet, is like in fifth grade, like we did like descriptive writing or whatnot. And I was really good at it. But ever since then, I was like, I hate writing. Like, it's just, it's tedious. And I think it was probably because I was writing about stuff in school that I didn't give two craps about, you know?
Right.
And so the thought of like getting to go and write about something that I actually care about and that I actually like was exciting. So really, no, other than like school, no, I hadn't written anything before.
Hey, fantasy football fanatics. Are you ready to suit up in style this season? Introducing Casey Kasem's Sunday Dreamers Club, your go-to destination for fantasy football inspired apparel. And here's the touchdown pass. Throughout March, you can score a whopping 15% off your order using code GETREAL at SundayDreamersClub.com. That's right, savings galore on the coolest gear in the game. But here's the extra point. Your support means the world to me. By snagging a shirt, you're not just gearing up for fantasy football. You're also helping fuel my journey and helping to keep this podcast going strong. So huddle up, folks. Head over to SundayDreamersClub.com, punch in code GETREAL, and grab your gear before the clock runs out. Don't keep this deal to yourself. Spread the word, and let's make fantasy football legendary.
So when you first started putting out content, what was something maybe that you wish you would have known that if you could go back and tell yourself, you'd be like, hey, this is what's up?
Oh.
Just because there's a lot of people that want to get started and they're like, oh, I don't know what to do and I don't know how to do this and I'm scared to do this. And it's like, I was in that same position and there are plenty of things I can think of that I would do differently. I don't know if it would have changed anything, but
I'm going to spin it a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know if I would have changed anything necessarily, but my advice to some people, like everyone, I feel like everyone's advice to people when they're like trying to get started is just start, which is pretty applicable. But I think the other thing that helped me was just have a support system around you. Like, and I think you know it, and a lot of people in the fantasy Twitter space know it. Like, as a whole, yeah, we can have some bickering and some infighting and things like that where it makes it miserable to be a part of. But there is always, like, your group of people that you're gonna be friends with pretty much no matter what. And I, like I mentioned, I listened to Nate's episode on the drive yesterday. Like, some of my lifelong friends, like Nate has said, have come from fantasy Twitter. Like, one of them is Jay Felicio. Like, I'm in his home keeper league now. He actually just sent me the picture from the first time we actually met in person earlier today. But you're gonna find your people, whether it's with the website that you write with or a group of friends on Twitter. And I guess my advice would be, like, don't be afraid to ask them for feedback. Yes, feedback can suck, but if it's people that are like truly looking out for you and sticking up for you, I would hope it's with the best intentions. And ultimately, like, they're going to be your champions when that first article posts. They're going to be like, hey, my boy Shane just posted his first article with the astronauts. Like, come check it out. So I think that's my answer.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It is very crucial to find the people that you can go to. It really is. And if you ever had advice, to just have somebody to listen, to look, to do all that, yeah, it makes a world of difference. So yeah, don't be afraid. What about getting people to guest on your podcast? How do you go about getting people to come on?
Oh. Okay, this answer is going to suck potentially, but it's just shoot your shot. Like, I think I did that with you when I was doing, so I did a series for a while called Collective Knowledge, and I think I just straight up asked you, I was like, hey, do you want to come on and talk about your, similar to this, talk about your fantasy football journey? Just shoot your shot, because most people in the industry will say yes, and if they truly don't have time, they'll tell you that they don't have time. But what I've experienced, and I don't know about you, is like, they'll at least be like, hey, I don't have time right now, but message me in 3 months or something, and I'd love to come on. They're all like, they want to help anybody they can that's trying to start and make content and things like that. The other thing, shameless plug, I guess, is if you need a first guest on a podcast, just ask me. My DMs on Twitter are open. You can ask me. I have been so many people's first guest on their show. I don't understand how it happens, but I'll set the bar low enough that anybody that comes on after me can knock it out of the park, but hopefully still provide you some entertainment.
Well, I love that. And I love the fact that people come on this show and then they're like, hey, I'll come on your podcast as well if you want me to the audience listening. And that's just awesome to see how everybody can kind of join up like that. It's just a cool thing to see. And putting out content is one of those things where, like, sometimes you just are having a day and you just don't feel like doing anything, or sometimes you're just, you know, tired, or sometimes this, but how do you balance everything?
Oh, so I mentioned earlier, I've got 3 kids. Mm-hmm. So you're probably really wondering, like, how do you balance it?
Having 3 girls and you're married and you do content and you're just out here all over the place. So how do you do all that?
Yeah. One, I'm on my phone way more than I should be. If you can avoid doing that, I would suggest it. But I would say I think the biggest thing for me is like have boundaries. Like you and I even kind of talked about it. Like if someone asked me to come on their show, I'm like, I can do pretty much any weeknight after 8 p.m. Eastern time. Because especially right now with my job that I just started, like I've got an hour commute to work and an hour commute back from work. So like 6 to 8 o'clock when I'm home, like it's family time. Like I'm hanging out with the girls and trying not to look at my phone. But anytime after that, they're supposed to be asleep. I think I actually still hear them awake right now at 9 o'clock. But anytime after that, like that's kind of me time or me and my wife time. And she's usually pretty understanding. Like I try to communicate ahead of time, like, hey, I'm guesting on a podcast on this date, and we'll usually remind her earlier that week. But I would just say like have boundaries of like when you're either going to guest on someone's podcast or when you're going to want to do content. And then once you kind of have those boundaries, like just lock it in. Like that's like Wednesdays at 8 o'clock. Like that's content creation time. And then you can kind of, I guess this is kind of life advice too, like calendar block, like what days you're going to create content, what day, like for me, another thing I like to do it when the kids are in bed is like play Xbox, or what nights am I actually going to spend time with my wife, different things like that. So that's probably my best advice.
I'm going to have to start blocking things off because I just looked up on my calendar and I'm like, when is the last time I updated this thing? And like, this is why I'm so bad at getting back to people that want to come on to the podcast. When I'm so bad at getting back to them because I don't write anything down. I don't put anything, you know, until like 2 days after I tell the person or whatever. Yeah. And then I'm like, it's only happened to me one time where somebody was like, I can't make it to the podcast tonight. And I was like, oh shit, I didn't even know there was a podcast tonight. Thank you for saying that. So, yeah. I'm bad. I think that's my biggest thing is just like, finding the time for everything has been hard. And then I was like, I'm going to quit my job because I need more time to do everything that I want to do, which I am so happy about that. But like at the same time, you know, you got to learn how to like schedule and stuff. I just don't know how to do that.
I've been watching your journey on Twitter with that. So I'm very intrigued and supportive of you. Like if you need anything, let me know.
Thank you. Well, that's why I was glad to come on here and talk to you because I was like, I need to talk to people. I've been at home all day by myself. Like, I need to talk to somebody. So I'm so happy that I get to talk with you.
Awesome. Like,
I wanted to talk about Pauly's playoffs. Pauly's playoff, you had brought up as something that was important to you. And I already knew about that being important to you before you brought it up. I was going to touch on it anyway, but can you just kind of tell everybody what it is, what it's all about so that they know what's going on?
Yeah, I'd love to. So the other episode I listened to, was it Joey or Nate, one of the two that I listened to. You guys talked a lot about Scott Fishbowl.
Mm-hmm.
And my first year in Scott Fishbowl was the toys year. And I ended up in the Lego division with Scott Fish. And he was great. Like, I absolutely love him. He's phenomenal. He's an incredible human being. Beside that fact, in the group chat, like, we were talking one day, and he was kind of like, yeah, like, if you've got a platform big enough, then you should try and do something good with it. And at the time, I think I had, like, 3,000 or 4,000 followers on Twitter. And I was like, you know what? To me, that's a big enough platform. I feel like I can do something good.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife's grandmother, Pauly, passed away in 2019 from Alzheimer's. And so it all just kind of timed up perfectly with Scott Fishbowl and fundraising for the Walk to End Alzheimer's, and being the year after she passed, like it all literally just kind of came together at the perfect timing. So what Pauly's playoff is our biggest fundraising effort. So it is a charity fantasy football tournament. All donations are straight to the Alzheimer's Association, and it's for the Walk to End Alzheimer's. So basically every year in your city or in a city nearby, like if Dallas does not have a Walk to End Alzheimer's, I would be shocked. I'd be shocked if there's not multiple within like a rock's throw of where you live. But like, in South Carolina, like there's Greenville, there's Clemson, there's Charleston, I think there's Columbia. We were, before we moved here, we were big part in the Birmingham Walk to End Alzheimer's. And so what Pauly's playoff is, was an effort to raise money and raise awareness and kind of like Scott Fishbowl, kind of bring the fantasy community together a little bit more. So the first year it was 120 person. The second year was 240. Third year we dropped off a little bit to 180. And then last year was year four and we were back at 240. So year five is this coming season. I'm going to try and double it to 480, which normally I think would be pretty hard. But this year what I'm going to introduce is actually have half the tournament be a regular managed redraft league, and then half of it is actually going to be best ball, because I've had a ton of people express to me like, Shane, I would love to support you, I'd love to play in Pauly's playoff, but I'm just in way too many leagues. Is there any way we could do best ball? So I'm going to try and split it down the middle. I'll probably tweak the scoring in the best ball a little bit so that it kind of matches up with the scores that you're getting in the managed leagues. But kind of the settings behind it are, it's a super flex, tiered PPR, no tight end premium charity tournament. And so what the tiered PPR is, this was actually a setting that I garnered from my home league dynasty. We tier it by distance. So 0 to 4 yards is like 0.25. And then 5 to 9 yards is like 0.75. 10 to 19 is 1.0. And basically it's like the longer the catch you get, the more PPR points you get from it. It's one of my favorite settings, and Sleeper like makes it so easy to set that up. Tiered PPR by distance, people. If you're not playing it, find a league or join Pauly's playoff so you can get a taste of it, because it's super, super fun. But yeah, it's basically, like, long story short, Pauly's playoff is a charity tournament to try and find a cure for Alzheimer's. And the last 3 years, I think we've raised more than $5,000 each year. And it's been really cool, because like, I'll get emails from the Alzheimer's Association saying like, hey, like the FDA is getting ready to approve this drug or different things like that, or find different cures or medicines or whatever. I'm not a doctor, but
no,
basically like finding different ways to help delay this disease at least. Because that was the other thing is like, when we started it, Alzheimer's was, I think, number 6 on the top 10 killers in the United States. And it was the only one in the top 10 that didn't have a cure or a drug to even slow it down. And what I've loved to see, and I loved, doesn't necessarily feel like the right word, but what I've gathered that's kind of been like heartfelt and heartwarming is like, so many people, even just in the fantasy community. I think it was last year, Rick Butts, owner of Roto Heat, where my content is at, did the math for me on the responses from our form. And like 58% of people that were playing in Pauly's playoff were affected by Alzheimer's in their family somehow. So, and it just wasn't talked about. So like, I wanted to create this giant community of people within the fantasy football space, even, that like knows what like my family's been through, what their family has been through, and just be able to talk to each other about it. Cause it, like, I don't know if you've had anyone in your life affected by it, but it sucks.
Yeah. My wife's grandmother.
And it just like, I tell the story every now and again, like it was hard for me for a different reason, because I had to watch the person that they loved and knew and had so many memories of deteriorate, and there was nothing I could do about it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't necessarily have that connection with her, but like now, like even thinking back, like we would take her to dinner every now and again, and it was just me and my wife and our daughters at the time. And I kid you not, I would order a beer at dinner, and because she couldn't remember, she told me the same story every single time. And now, like, especially because it was typically at a Mexican restaurant, if I order a beer, that's one of the first things I think of, is like, I miss her being here to be able to tell that story.
And that's such an awesome thing that you did. And it's so cool to see how it's grown. And I know that the football season just ended, so we have a little ways, but if people are interested in it and they want to find out more, or they want to, you know, sign up for it or whatever, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah. So shout out to Rick Butts. He created polysplayoff.com for me last year. So you can go there to, we need to make some tweaks beforehand. So signups for 2024 have not actually launched yet, but they will soon. But you would go to polysplayoff.com. It's got the background of kind of who Pauly was, why the tournament was started, the rules. And then if you just scroll to the bottom of that first page, you can actually sign up right there. So once I make the tweaks to the form and get that to Rick, we'll get it changed and I'll tweet about it. I annoy people I know just tweeting about it. But once it's live and ready to go, it'll be ready. I'm going to, so I've kind of announced this on other pods and stuff, but I'm trying to make some changes this year to make it even more fun. And obviously best ball is part of that, but like, I want to have a theme this year, similar to kind of how Scott Fish does it. And then I've had multiple people tell me that they are willing to donate different things for prizes, which is really, really cool. One of those things that I'm personally excited about, I don't know who's going to win it, but we're going to be able to give away a personal league podcast from Going for Two. So cool. If you've never heard one of those or had one done for your league, basically what Jeff does is he has three or four members of his team rank your league from the team that you most want to take over to the least. And so, right. And then it comes up with a consensus ranking. And then on the actual show, we're basically talking, like, we all get assigned a team and then we're talking about the teams that we're assigned. It's super, super fun. And so that is one of the prizes this year, is you'll get a free PLP or the potential to earn a free PLP from Jeff.
That's super rad to see. And yeah, it's great that people are donating and wanting to help make it even bigger. So that's really cool. So yeah, go check that out. If you guys get the chance, go check that out for sure, for sure. Awesome. And you brought up Roto Heat as where you are a contributor of content. Yeah. How did that happen?
Oh, that's a really easy question, actually. long story short, I was working for a website. That website dissolved. I was a free agent for a little while, basically just doing the podcast, posting that and tweeting it out, things like that. But I was like, I still want to do writing content and would love to like bring my podcast onto somebody's network and just kind of have some more outreach for it. And lo and behold, Jay Felicio was like, hey, have you talked to Rick at Roto Heat about joining his team? I think you'd be a perfect fit. And I was like, no, at the time I hadn't. So reached out to Rick and was like, hey man, Jay told me to give you a shout and looking for a new home for not only the podcast, but my written content as well. Can I join you? And he was like, yeah, of course.
Yay.
So if you guys don't know Rick, you're really missing out. He can be a sarcastic asshole, but he is truly one of the most like caring people just on fantasy Twitter in general. He's helped me a ton with Pauly's playoff. He actually let me use Roto Heat's StreamYard last year for the podathon. Like I mentioned, he created the website for me for free. He's been super generous with his time and his skills. And I really, really appreciate him as a friend and kind of a mentor too. So that was kind of how it started with Roto Heat.
Well, okay, bringing up the podathon, because that's a big undertaking.
Holy cow.
You've got to like, yeah, I can't even imagine. So how did you decide to set that up and contact people and do all that fun stuff?
So year one was literally on a whim. It was just a complete whim. I was like, you know what? This year, I think I'm going to do a podathon. I think I basically created a spreadsheet. I broke it down into like 30-minute segments, and I just started DMing people. I had a couple of different group chats I was into, and I was like, hey, guys, I'm going to do a podathon for Pauly's playoff. If you're in the tournament or not, I would love to have you come on and just be part of the podathon for a 30-minute segment. Just because I've seen the podathon with Scott Fishbowl and like how much impact that has, especially from a fundraising standpoint. And that was kind of where the whim came from. I was like, you know, let's make an effort just on one day to just get some fundraising done. And year one, I think we made like $100 off the podathon, but last year was year two and we crushed it. I can't even remember how much we raised, but it was a lot. Cause like, people would come on, like I had multiple people come on, especially towards the end of the night. So that's the thing that people don't talk about. I don't feel like with podathons, it's like my podathon was like from 9 a.m. in the morning to 1 a.m. the next morning. It's a long time to be on stream. And so I tried to like, last year, Rick helped me out and like hosted a couple of hours for me so I could like take a break here and go spend time with the family and not just sit on the computer all day long. But basically, like towards the end of last the night last year, people were coming on and were like, hey, I've got a signed, like, I think JB Barry had a signed either Vita Vea mini helmet or a jersey. And he was like, if you donate X number of dollars, you'll be entered in to win it. And like one person donated $100. And he was like, all right, Steve, you're the winner. And then like Dave Heilman came on and he had these different, basically like fantasy consults, I think. And they were like 10-minute things. And he was like, look, if you donate in this time frame, like you'll win one. And so he gave away a bunch. And then people were like, just like, if you donate X number of dollars in this time frame, I'm gonna match it. And so that's really how we raised a ton of money. Is a couple people put out some matching stuff in the potathon and just in general. Like we had one that if we got to 240 people, two people were actually gonna donate $240 each, and they both held up to their end of the bargain. It was so cool. But yeah, that's kind of how the potathon came together. I tried to just DM like close friends at first, and then people that were in the tournament. I threw it into group chats and was like, hey, if you want to come on, just put your name down in the spreadsheet, put what your Twitter handle is. And if you have a topic that you want to talk about, put it here. If not, I'll figure it out and fill it in. So we've had a couple of like repeat segments. Like Dr. James Ferretti is on the staff at Going for Two. He's a legitimate, I think, orthopedic. No, he's a radiologist. So he looks at MRIs and x-rays and things like that all day long. And he's come on for 2 years now and done an injury segment. Because at the point that the potathon happens, we're like beginning of August. So like we've had some preseason games, we've had practices, OTAs, whatever. So we like if people are injured, like they're injured at this point. So we've talked about the different like potential outcomes for people. Like last year, like Breece Hall coming back from an ACL. The year before, Javonte Williams coming back. Different things like that. So it's been really, that's one of my favorite segments every year. But then we've had other repeat segments that are just a ton of fun.
So how tired are you at the end of it all?
Oh my God. So tired. I'm ready to, like last year, I think it was Shane Hallett was my last guest. He was like, yeah, your eyes were glazing over. I was like, yeah, I bet.
imagine.
I'm falling out at this point. But yeah, I'm usually ready to just like shut it down and go try and shut my mind off and go straight to sleep. But it's kind of hard, like when you've had that kind of day and don't necessarily have the time to decompress, but it's like, it's in a good way. Cause like,
yeah,
for me, like, it's just like an extreme outpouring of like love and support from all these different people across the country. And it's like, this is so cool. Like, I don't know anywhere else where you could get something like that.
Me either. It's crazy to like stumble across the fantasy football community, or I've been on Twitter forever. So like it came to me, and I'm excited about like just seeing how many people are so generous and just caring and want to donate and want to spend their time and do all of that. So it's super awesome to see. And like you said, all over the country, all over the place, like that we could be friends or have acquaintances that are just all over the place is wow. It's mind blowing to think about.
Right. Like I've got friends that are legitimately like live in England.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that beforehand.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I think we have somebody in Polly's playoff that lives in Germany.
Oh, so how does that work? Having somebody in a completely, you know, the time zone is like, whoa.
So not this past, like not the 23 season, or I guess 2022 into 23. What? No, 23. In 2022, I am not afraid to admit this now, but if I knew that you were across the pond, I actually tried to put you in the same division just because it was smaller that year. I was like, this will make the draft a little bit easier. But that's one thing that like Scott Fishbowl has and that we do with Polly's playoff is it's a slow draft. 8 hour clock. Shuts off from typically 11 p.m. to 8 a.m. Eastern time, just because those are the times that I'm awake. And so that's the kind of the way it works is like, and people complain every year about the slow clock. And I'm like, look, it was in the rules. And the whole point of it is to give more people more access to it. Yeah. Because if we try and do a fast draft, it's going to cut people off from actually being able to draft. And that's not what I want.
Right. Yeah. I used to be team fast draft, but then I'm like, yeah, once you start meeting more people outside of your bubble, and start realizing, hey, people don't live in the United States. They live in other places too, yeah. You know?
Or even, come on. Like I'm on Eastern time, you're on Central time. My old co-host was on the Pacific time. So it's a 3-hour difference to where if I want to record at, like, if he wants to record when his kids go to bed, that's 8 o'clock Pacific time. That's 11 o'clock my time. Yeah. I'm not going to bed till 1 o'clock at night. So, and that ended up happening. but like that's things you got to account for. And I don't feel like people necessarily do that. I was a team fast, slow draft. So like, I would be kind of like that, that person that's driving you like, hey, make your pick. And then I was in a draft, I think 3 years ago now, that we had two or three people that were across the pond. And then we had two people that like just didn't check their phones during the day. It was the longest draft I've ever been a part of. But I think at the same time, I ended up talking to JL Garofolo. And he was like, look, man, like others, like you can't control what other people are doing on their time. And there's no point in getting upset about it. So just let it go. And so after that, now I've been way more understanding. I'm like, look, if you make your pick in 2 seconds, fantastic. If you take 8 hours to make your pick, I don't care anymore. Like, yeah, you do you. As long as you keep the draft move, my biggest thing, and this is just like life in general or fantasy football in general, like just communicate. Like if you know you're not going to be around your phone for 4 hours, just tell me. Like as like from a commissioner standpoint, just tell me. Cause like I had one guy, I think he was in my league. He was in one of my Poly's playoff leagues where he, if I remember correctly, worked in a prison and was not allowed to have his phone during the day.
Mm.
So he would disappear for 8, 9, 10 hours at a time because he had to.
Right.
And it was like, okay, like I can't do a darn thing about that. So just let us know when you're back and when you could pick. And if you need any help with anything, just let us know.
Yeah, that'd be hard because like at my old job, we're not allowed to be on our phones, but it's not like one of the, like working in a jail or something. Like,
yeah,
I could sneak off and make a draft pick, yeah. But you know, that would suck. What about, well, first of all, I wanted to say that came to my head was time zones just suck for content creation because like scheduling with people, I'm like, okay, I don't know. Yeah. I'm in Central and everybody's like, yeah, well, I'm not. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I like to go to bed at a decent hour, but it's cool.
Right.
Nah, but tonight's
good.
I hope
I'm not keeping you past your
bedtime. You're not keeping me past my bedtime. Nope. I took a nap earlier, so I think I'll be
solid.
All right. Yeah.
Solid.
I needed one real bad. I haven't slept well for the last two nights and I'm just like exhausted. So what do you like when you have free time? I know you're a family guy.
Yeah.
But what do you like to do in that free time when you have some?
Yeah, when you have some. I think you asked Joey that question too. The cop-out answer is spend time with my wife. I probably don't do as much of that as I should. But like Sunday, like we celebrated Valentine's Day on Sunday instead of on the actual day because it was just what worked with our schedule and we watched a movie. So we like to watch movies together or watch different shows together. And then if I'm not spending time with her, it's basically one of two things. It's either, actually it was one of three things, sorry. It's either playing Xbox, going to the gym and lifting weights, or playing basketball. I still have a little bit of my youth in me and love to play basketball when I can. Now, since we moved to South Carolina, that's significantly reduced and my wife is super happy about that because when we lived in Birmingham, I was telling someone this the other day, I was like so connected with people in Birmingham from a basketball standpoint that I could literally pick a day of the week and have a pickup game to play in. Whereas here in South Carolina, I don't have that, which is probably better for my existence. But yeah, love playing basketball, typically play Sunday nights at church. And then playing Xbox is a huge one. That's kind of one of the ways I stay connected with my Birmingham friends is hopping on and playing Xbox. So, and then lifting weights. I've been on a weight loss journey. It's definitely been a journey for the last year. And so it's been really tough lately, but basically when the kids go to bed, I've been headed to the gym to get my workout in. So those are kind of my three things.
Headed to the gym. Man, I wish I could say those words. I never head to the gym. I need to get on a health journey myself. So inspiration right here. Thank you for bringing that up towards the end so I can go after this and not go to the gym.
Yeah, I'm not going tonight.
Not tonight. Well, before we go, because I said I was going to keep it about an hour-ish, but, you know, I like to talk and you like to talk and we like to talk. So that's what we're going to do. But no, before we go, though, you had brought up earlier, like, who was it, Jay, that you met in person?
Yeah.
How is meeting people from the fantasy football space in real life, like one-on-one?
For me, it's one of the best things. So I'm probably going to make somebody mad, and I hope that I don't. But I think outside of Dom, who I knew before I got into fantasy Twitter, I think the only two people that I've actually met in person are Jay and Joey. So Jay, like I mentioned, he lives in North Carolina. I live in South Carolina. He had someone drop out of his home league. And this was after like a year or so of friendship. He was like, hey, I know you live in South Carolina. Would you be willing to drive up to North Carolina and join my home league? Because it's a live draft. And I was like, yes, absolutely. And so that was the first time we met, was I drove up for that first year that I had joined. I actually spent the night at his house, just slept on, I think I slept on the couch up in their guest kind of area. So it's like, for me, it's one of the best things. It's like, I haven't been to the expo yet and I'm dying to go. I don't know if I'm going to make it this year, and I cannot talk about why right now, but I don't think I'm going to make it this year, but would love, I'm going to try, and I would love to, because like, I'd love to meet you in person. Like Nate and I have been best friends for a while, I haven't actually met him in person. Same thing with Jorge. There's so many people. Yeah. I'd love to meet Scott Fish in person, simply to be like, thank you for kind of changing my life and inspiring me to make the impact that I've had. And then being able to see people like Joey and Simon and JL, like all those people, like I'd love to actually meet them in person. Like, I hope this doesn't come across weird, but like physical touch is my first love language. So like getting to hug Jay for the first time, getting to hug Joey, like getting to like meet all these people and actually get to hug them, because it feels like we've been friends for so, so long. Like, it would be so freaking fulfilling for me. It's the best.
And Scott Fishbowl does live drafts too. So
yeah,
hopefully you can
get it. I think we're having, I don't know yet, but we've signed up to have one in Greenville.
Well, here's hoping, because it was a blast in Dallas last year. I mean, I met a ton of people that I didn't even know prior to the meeting, prior to us being there in person at a bar. Like, it was crazy to have that experience, but it was so awesome. So I hope that you guys get one. I hope you get to go out to it, because that'd be dope.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah. Shane, I appreciate you so much for coming on the podcast. This was a long time coming. I really am glad that we made something work. And,
yeah, of course.
You can get on here. Before we go, if there's anything else you want to say, and if you want to plug all your stuff, where they can find you and all that jazz, now is your chance.
All right. Sounds good. One thing that like you'll probably find if you follow me on Twitter after this episode is that I'm pretty big about my faith. My whole spiel is like, if you want to talk about it, great. If you don't, you're not going to hurt my feelings. I just want to be an open door for people to talk about it, whether that's something that they're interested in, or whether that's something they're like, I've never talked about this before. I just want to be that open door for people. Jay and I both really try to strive for that. So that's one thing that like we hadn't necessarily talked about, that I just want to open that door. But then you can find me on Twitter at FFShaneB. Any of my content right now is on Roto Heat. I'm about to start writing an article series on the rookies and kind of what I want to, per Jay's advice, because obviously Jay and I talk a lot. I'm probably going to do like the big names, like the Caleb Williams, the Marvin Harrison Juniors. But what I want to focus on with the series is the guys that people aren't talking as much about, so that people have that resource to be like, hey, like, I'm in my rookie draft. It's past round one. Who do I draft? And I want to be able to give people just like some quick hitter like profiles on the rookies. So that article series will be coming out on rotoheat.com, which is where you can find all my content. And then for Polly's Playoff, obviously I mentioned it's polliesplayoff.com. Check on Twitter, because that is where the official announcement that this year's registration is live will be.
That's awesome. Yeah, and everybody.
I'm going to do this part for you. If you are not already following Casey, go follow Casey. And if you have not already, hit like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is on your preferred podcasting network, please do so. And because I've listened to a couple episodes, she's part of the DAP podcast network, so go follow them too. And support Casey any way you can, because she is freaking awesome.
Dude, wow, you did it so much better than I could even do that. But what I'm gonna say is everybody should go follow Shane and keep an eye out for the Polly's Playoff information, sign up and do all of that fun stuff. Go read his articles, listen to his podcast, and tell him you listened to this episode, because I'm sure that would make him, that would make him smile. So until next week, or please come back next week for another episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem, and remember to stay rad.
Get real. Time to get real, everybody.